the right to do right. In the book of Genesis, beginning to read at verse 9 of chapter 18. Genesis 18, verse 9. Then they said to him, and this is the Lord and the holy angels that were with him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" So he said, "Here in the tent." This is God, of course, speaking to Abraham. And he said, "I will certainly return to you according to the time of life." That basically means in a year. "And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." Now Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I bear a child since I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied it, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. And he said, "No, but you did laugh." Then the men arose from there and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to send them on their way. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him." This is a wonderful study in the grace and the mercy of God. And that grace and mercy being in the context of human frailty. Not only is Abraham and Sarah too old to have a child, not only has the promise seemed, at least from their perspective, to have passed them by, but Abraham was asked a question that might have caused him to become that much more aware of his personal frailty. Sarah laughed behind the opening of the tent, but God asked Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh?" Now, if Abraham had taken an account of his life and of his experience, he might have thought to himself, there is a possibility that Sarah is laughing because maybe I didn't invest in her enough faith. Maybe I didn't present to her enough of a testimony. If you look at his situation, there were times when Abraham could have strengthened Sarah's faith or helped her to strengthen her faith, but instead he did some things that might have actually counteracted her faith and her growth and her development. Certain decisions that he made, certain mistakes that he made, times when he said that she was his sister rather than acknowledging that she was his wife to protect his own life. It might be the same as a person, in essence, taking their loved one and placing them in a position of danger so that they can maintain the promise or maintain their ministry or maintain their testimony or whatever the case might be. And maybe she felt at times, like Lot's daughters, for instance, that she was being sacrificed on the altar of Abraham's ministry. That happens sometimes. Or maybe he could say, you know, maybe I pushed her a little too hard. Sometimes he might have said, I didn't push her hard enough. And sometimes we're going through this desert. It's dry. It's arid. And one minute she's building a tent and she's feeling like she's at home. And next minute we're up and we're gone again. And she's got to build a tent again over here. And again, we're up and gone again. And maybe I just didn't allow for enough stability in our life. Or maybe when I should have stepped in and said, no, we need to stick with God's plan and God's promise. Maybe I didn't do that. So maybe in the time when she said, God is not moving quick enough, we should work with Hagar and have a son through her. Maybe I should have stood up and said, no, we need to trust the Lord. We need to wait for God. And there are times when you and I can feel that if our testimony had been a little stronger, if we had given just a little bit more, if we had been a bit more patient, or if we had driven a little harder, or maybe we pulled back a little bit more, or whatever the case might be, then maybe the people who are in our sphere of influence might be less likely to laugh when God makes a promise. So we might say, if I had just raised my children differently, they might be more on fire for God, or they might be in the house of the Lord, or if I had just been different to my husband or to my wife, they might be more inclined to come to church, or they might be more inclined to read their Bible. If I had just had a better testimony on my job, then the people around might be more likely to come with me to church when I invite them, and so on and so forth. And sometimes we can begin to beat ourselves up. But the Lord asked two questions when he spoke to Abraham. The first was, why did Sarah laugh? And then the second was, is there anything too hard for the Lord? So on the first side, you and I can ask ourselves the question, and that is, why is it that we're not having the kind of impact that we would like to have? Why is it that this person or that person that we love or that we are praying for or that we've spoken to in the name of the Lord, why is it that they're still finding it hard to believe? Or we can let God go farther and say to us, it's not about you. The issue is not about your testimony. It's about the testimony of the Lord. In other words, it's not about whether or not we've done everything right. We know Abraham was basically doing the best that he could. He wasn't a perfect person, but he was a loyal person, and he was a faithful person, and he was a person who got up when God told him to get up, who moved when God told him to move. He made some mistakes, yes, but he was a sincere person and a godly person, and God never questioned that. But what God was saying to Abraham was, the things that are impossible with you. And what God was saying to Sarah was, the things that you could never do in your own strength. God has made a promise to you, and God is going to keep it. Now, God goes beyond that, and he begins to say some things with regard to Abraham. So that if Abraham was being overcome by doubts and by fears and wondering, could I have been this more or that more? Was I not this enough or was I too much of that? When he had at least the temptation to get too caught up in his own inabilities, God began not only to say some things about the Lord, that is there anything too hard for the Lord? But he also began to say some things about Abraham. And I think he said it so that Abraham could hear it. You understand, God is speaking at this particular moment to the angels that are with him, but he's speaking in the hearing of Abraham. Now, Abraham could have done one of two things. When God began to move towards Sodom, Abraham could have said, you know what? Let me stay where I am. Now, if you look at the passages in that particular chapter, you're going to see Abraham was having a pretty good day. God had come down from heaven. God had sat with him at meal. God had made a promise to him about his future. And he could have tried to hold on to that and put one thing on one side of the scale and the other thing on the other side of the scale. That is to say, I have some failures over here and I have some difficulties over here and so on and so forth. But at the same time, I have God's presence over here and I have God's love over here and I have God's promise over there. And he could have basically spent the rest of his day Just evaluating his life. How much do I have on this side of the scale? How much on that side of the scale? And so on and so forth. Or he could have done something better. And that was continue to walk with God. Even though God was moving now into a place of difficulty. Even though God was moving now into a place of burden, Abraham could have said, let me just stay where I am. Let me calculate. Let me evaluate. Let me consider. Or let me just keep going wherever God is going. So God begins to move towards Sodom. Abraham is following him close enough to overhear what God has to say. And it's the same thing with you and me. We can evaluate our pluses and our minuses. And we can basically become bookkeepers with regard to our successes and failures. Or we can walk with God wherever he happens to be going. And we can overhear him when he begins to boast on us. When he begins to talk about who he is to us and what he's done for us. You see, what's going on now is God is talking behind Abraham's back. But he's doing it loud enough for Abraham to hear it. He begins to say, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? And if Abraham had been back in his tent calculating his pluses and minuses, he would have missed everything. But he said, look, I got pluses, I got minuses, but that don't matter. God is going this way, so I'm going with him. God is moving in this direction, so I'm moving with him. Wherever he happens to be going, that's where I'm going. And in the process, he overheard some wonderful things. Because God said, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And then God begins to speak certain things. The same God who created the heavens and the earth, as our pastor is always reminding us, the same God who created the heavens and the earth, the same God who spoke and said, let there be light, is the God who can speak into our life, who can speak over our life and make it come to pass irrespective of our strengths and weaknesses. So he begins to say some things about Abraham, and in a real sense, saying some things to Abraham. And he begins to say things like, since Abraham shall surely become a great and a mighty nation. Now you understand, when God says surely, there is nothing that anybody can do. There is no one who can stay his hand. He didn't say probably. He didn't say maybe. He said surely. Abraham will surely wax greater and greater. He will surely go from glory to glory and from image to image, from grace to grace and from faith to faith. He will surely be molded and shaped after the image of Jesus Christ. This is what the Bible tells us in the 8th chapter of Romans, that we are predestined to be molded and shaped after the image of the Son of God. Surely we are growing from day to day. It might not feel like it all the time, but God spoke it. He said, surely you are getting closer to God. Surely you are growing and developing spiritually and emotionally and psychologically and ethically and morally. Surely you are becoming more and more like the Son of God because of the indwelling Spirit. God speaks over Abraham. It's not about his pluses, not about his minuses, not about his history, not about his testimony, but about the glory of God, where God says to him, is there anything too hard for God? If God says you're growing, then you're growing. If God says you are being sanctified, then you are being sanctified. If God says he's taking you by the hand and you are becoming more and more and more and more like his Son, then that's exactly what's happening. And it's not about us evaluating our situation. It's about us believing the word of God. See, Abraham and Sarah could have evaluated their situation. And they would have come out the same way every single time, that I'm too old. I don't have any strength. I can't do this. It is not in my power. But the Lord asks the question, is there anything too hard for God? If he said you are growing, then you are growing. You might not feel it all the time.
If he said you're drawing closer to him, then you're drawing closer to him. You might not recognize it all the time. If he said that he is molding you and shaping you into his image and his likeness, then that's exactly what he's doing. If he said to Abraham, surely you will become a great and a mighty nation, then that's exactly what's going to happen. If he tells you that he's going to make you strong, not in your own strength, but in the power of his might. If he says to you and to me that his grace is sufficient for us, for his strength is made perfect in weakness. If he tells us that he is our shield and our buckler, that he is our strength and our salvation. If he tells us that we are his people and he is our high tower, that he is our protection, then that's exactly what the case is. If he tells us that by his covenant faithfulness and by his mercy, we are being made great, then that's exactly what's happening. He said, surely. And sometimes you and I don't feel it, so we simply have to hear it. It's not about calculating your ups and downs. It's not about concerning yourself with your frailties and your fears and your worries and your wonders. And no, it's about believing God. Walking with him close enough to hear him when he talks about you. Because I'm not interested in listening to what my heart has to say about it. And I'm certainly not interested in hearing what the devil has to say about it. I couldn't care less what the world has to say about it. I just want to walk close enough to God that I can hear him when he talks about what he's doing in my life. And that's what Abraham did. He just walked close enough to hear God's testimony. God said, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. God says you're going to be a blessing. It doesn't matter what the world says. Doesn't matter what the devil says. Doesn't matter what your heart says. Doesn't matter what circumstances seem to say. Doesn't matter what your weakness, your frailties seem to say. If you walk with God and you walk close enough with God, you're going to hear him when he tells you you are going to be a blessing. And if you want, you can be overcome by the fact that you didn't do this enough and you didn't do that enough. You can be overcome by the fact that Sarah laughed and maybe you had something to do with that. You can be overcome by that. You can be overwhelmed with it. Or you can hear God say, is there anything too hard for the Lord? I told you that at this time next year, Sarah will be laughing again, but different now. It'll be a different laugh then. And Sarah did laugh a year later, and she said, the Lord has called me to laugh, and now everybody who hears it will laugh with me. And she named her son Laughter. Because God said, I know it's a little bit difficult right now, and it doesn't seem like it's working out right now. But I guarantee you, he said, surely, he said, at this time next year, you're going to be laughing. You might be struggling now. You might be weeping now. The Bible says weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. As God reminds us at this time next year, it doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what the difficulty. It doesn't matter what the lie of the devil. God said at this time next year, you will be celebrating. You will be rejoicing. You will be acknowledging that the God of heaven and earth cannot lie. All you have to do now is just walk close enough to him to hear what he has to say about you. You might not see it all now. All you have to do is hear it. Might not all come to pass today, but all you have to do is get close enough to God to hear him make a promise over your life, to hear him speak life and light over your life, to hear him say, I know it's a little bit difficult now, and it seems like it's a little bit hard getting over the hump, but God has made a promise to you, and at this time next year, you'll be standing at a pulpit like this, and you'll be testifying on a Sunday night, talking about the goodness of God and about the power of the great king to bring deliverance, to bring healing, to bring victory. What a great and a mighty Savior, able to heal, able to give victory. God said it, and he will do it. And all you and I have to do is get close enough to hear it. Get close enough to hear him talk to you. I was going to title this message, When God Talks Behind Your Back. Because he's talking to these angels and Abraham is in earshot. And God is beginning to talk about all these things. God says, for I know him. God is saying, this is my friend. I know him. He might not even know himself, but I know him. Bible says the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? And then the Bible says, I know. I test the heart. I try the reins. I know him. See, if he gets too caught up in himself, trying to evaluate himself, trying to figure out himself, he's going to remind himself that he's 99 years old and he has no power to bring forth. But God says, I know something he don't know. I know what I've invested in him. I know what I've done in him. And it would take Abraham a year to see it, but all it took him was a second to hear it. And it's going to be times when it takes you a little while to see the things that God is doing. But if you get close enough to him, right? You start eavesdropping on his conversation as he's talking about what he's done for you on Calvary's tree. And all you got to do is open up your Bible and let the Spirit begin to breathe. And all you got to do is put your ear to that book and hear him talking about what he's done for you. And you'll hear him say, I know you. You might be going through this and that, but I know you. I know what I've done in you, and I know your heart. I know that you love me because I've invested that love in you. Remember Peter said, Lord, you know that I love you. How did he know that the Lord knew? Because it was the Lord who invested that love in him. Bible says in the book of Romans in the 5th chapter that the love of God is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The reason why I know that God knows that I love him is because it's God who is loving through me. The reason why I know God knows that I love him is because he put it there. And he's the one that's keeping it alive. He's the one that's keeping it vibrant. He's the one that's feeding it. When I lift up my hands to God, it's because he draws it out of me. He invests it in me and then he draws it out of me. God knows that you love him because he put it there. God knows that you love him because he's the one that's keeping it alive. He's the one that's feeding it. He's the one that's keeping it vibrant. He's the one that's keeping it real. He knows that you love him because his Spirit is in you. And his Spirit is causing you to say, yes, Lord. Causing you to say, God, I love you. Causing you to cry out. And even the times, like the Bible says, when you don't have the words, there are these groanings that go forth. God knows you love him. And all you and I have to do is get close enough to him to hear him say it. He said, for I've known him in order that he might command his children and his household after him. Sarah might be laughing now, but she ain't going to laugh. Not at least, not in doubt, not in fear. Remember, Abraham had laughed first. So he kind of gave her an example of that. But the Lord still blessed him. And she laughed. And all the Lord wanted to do was, he just wanted her to be honest about it. And then later on, she would laugh in a different way. And there might be people that you know, on your job, at home, friends, family, and they might be laughing now, but you keep doing what you're doing, and they'll be laughing differently later. Hallelujah. They'll be coming with you to church, lifting up their hands and laughing in the presence of the great God. They'll be rejoicing. They'll be jumping. You got to see him with your mind's eye. You can't see it today, but just get close enough to God to hear it. They're going to be sitting right next to you. And tears going to be streaming down their face. And tears going to be streaming down yours because tears are streaming down theirs. And they're going to be laughing and they're going to be rejoicing. They're going to be lifting up their hands. And you're going to be like, God, I never thought this day would come. But you told me it would come and I simply put my trust in you. All you and I have got to do is get close enough to him to hear it. It may take a year to see it, but it only takes a second to hear it. If we listen to God, he'll remind us there is nothing too difficult for God.
your family. Remember what he said? He will command his family and his entire household. And they will keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice. Not only are they going to be saved, not only are they going to be in the house of the Lord, but there will be a zeal in their heart to protect his name. They will keep. That word means to guard righteousness and goodness. In other words, these are going to be people who guard the good. It's not going to be enough for them to just come and laugh before the Lord and to weep before the Lord. They will feel a zeal for his name, for his glory, for his house, for his fame. They will become warriors in Christ Jesus. They will fight for his glory. They will fight for his name. Brothers and sisters, there's going to come a time when the people that you're praying for, people that you're believing for, people that you are reaching out to, are going to be as hungry for God as you are. They're going to be speaking about God the way you do. But you and I have got to remind ourselves that it's not about our ups and downs, not about our ins and outs, it's about whether or not we follow God, put our trust in God, let God bring us from glory to glory, from image to image, just like he said that he would. Let God take us by the hand and lead us down the road of sanctification, causing us to fall more and more in love with him, causing us to walk in righteousness, to guard goodness, to live right in his name. And as we do that, we're going to see wonderful things happen. But in the meantime, we just need to hear him say, this is what I've done in you. Now, the enemy is going to try to say, you don't have any right to speak into Sarah's life. If it wasn't for you, she wouldn't be laughing at God's promises. But that's a lie, brothers and sisters. You have the right to do right, because God has spoken something over your life. God has spoken forgiveness over your life. He's spoken mercy over your life, grace over your life. He's chosen to work through you and through me, even though we still have a lot of growing up to do. You have a right to pray for people. You have a right to reach out to people. You have a right to talk to people about God. You have a right to feed people who are hungry and to clothe people who are naked and to take people. And you have a right to do the right thing. You have a right to do good. Bible says everybody who believed in Jesus, everyone who received him, to them he gave the right to be the children of God. Don't let the devil tell you that if it wasn't for you, Sarah wouldn't be laughing. That's a lie. The Bible says why Sarah laughed. It wasn't so much because Abraham was not a good enough witness. She laughed because the things that God were telling her weren't hard for her to grasp. She's 90 years old. It's hard for her to grasp. But you and I, if we grasp it, if we get close enough to God to hear it, then we can help other people grasp it. Everyone in this room has the right to do right. Has the right to help somebody, has the right to pray for somebody, has the right. Remember what Jesus heals the blind man and he goes and he starts to talk to the Pharisees and they say, you were altogether born in sin. Are you talking to us? And the enemy's going to try to tell you that. But it's a lie. You are redeemed. You are the people of God, the sons and daughters of the great King. And you have a right and a responsibility to do the right thing, to do what you can to help somebody along the way. Try to make a difference. Even though you're still growing, try to help somebody. Try to do something that's going to bless somebody in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together in the house of the Lord. I want to pray with you. If God is speaking to you, and you realize the enemy's been trying to lie to you and telling you you don't deserve to speak to anybody in Jesus' name. You don't have the right to pray for this person or pray for that person or meet this person along the way or that person along the way. And he's trying to tell you that you got to get it all together first before God can use you. Remember what the Lord said. Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Basically, he's asking the question, shall I involve Abraham in my mission? Yes or no? And then he says, yes, because I know him. And the same thing the Lord is saying to you today. Of course, I'm going to involve you in my mission because I know you. I've spoken life over you. You're my son. You're my daughter. Of course, I'm going to use you. And not only in the work of the Lord, but you will know the way of the Lord. This is what he said. That's why Jesus was able to say to a group of people, I'm not just calling you servants now. You're my friends. Because you know my heart. Don't let the devil lie to you. If you want to come and pray and just say, God, I believe you. If you say you know me, I'm taking your word for it. If you say you're going to involve me in this work, then I'm going to say amen. I'm not going to stand around trying to evaluate myself. I'm just going to hear your word. I'll follow you and whatever you want to do. Let's do it. Let's come to the front, brothers and sisters. Balcony, you can come on down. We'll wait for you. If you're in the annex, go between the screens. If you are in North Jersey, your ushers will tell you what to do. If you're at home, bow down before the great and the holy King. Hear his heart. We'll sing a song or two, and then we'll come together to pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. You know, when I was younger, when I first started to follow the Lord, when I first started to hear his voice, I made some really drastic decisions because I thought that that's what the Lord wanted me to do. And it turned a lot of people off, my family members, for instance, you know what I mean? And every now and again, I still feel like, you know, if I had just been a better witness, if I had not been so extreme, you know, they might be more apt to worship God, you know. And then I hear the Lord say, as he said in that text, that you will be a blessing to the nations. And I hear God saying to Abraham, and I hear him saying to us, I'm going to bless people on your behalf. You might have made some mistakes along the way, but I'm still going to bless people. And he said, I'm going to bless your household. I'm going to take care of your family. And I haven't seen all of it yet. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I hear people give testimonies about mom saved and dad saved and everybody and their mama saved. You know what I mean? And I'm like, praise God, praise God. And thank God for my mom and dad. They were both saved and this and the other, but there's still a lot of family. You know what I mean? And sometimes the only thing I got to go on is that I get close enough to God to hear him. I don't always see it. There are things that I'm looking to see I don't see yet. But I get close enough to God to hear him. Say, they will be blessed. They will be saved. He said, you just keep on doing what you're doing. Don't worry now, they're going to be all right. You'll have opportunities to reach out. And you'll have opportunities to help them. And the people that you can't reach, the other people will reach because you're doing God's work and you're living for God and you love the Lord. Sometimes it breaks my heart, you know what I mean? I wake up some days and I'm thinking to myself, man, but then I get close to God and I hear him. I said, don't worry, not. I'm going to take care. I haven't forgotten. Holy Spirit of Jesus, we know you haven't forgotten. We know that you are faithful. We know that you are good. If you made a promise, you will keep that promise. None of us have done it exactly the way we would have liked. None of us can look back and say, man, I did that exactly right. Especially when you come into family. But you do all things well. You do everything right. And you said you would look out for our family and our friends and our loved ones, and we believe you. We're asking you to help us, even if we can't see it, even if it's a year off or however, let us get close enough to you to hear it. It might take a year to see it, but it only takes a second to hear it. Help us to hear your heart, hear your voice, and trust you. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. And we believe you for that. We say along with Jeremiah, "Oh, Lord God, you've created the heavens and the earth, and there is nothing too difficult for you." And we thank you for the hope that comes as a result of trusting you. Now we thank you for these men and women, my brothers and my sisters, our family, oh God, in Jesus' name. I ask you to lay your hand upon each one. Cause your tender love to be made clear and apparent to each one, so that your name might be glorified. Speak over us as you spoke with regard to Abraham. I know you. You're my son. You're my daughter. I know you. God, we thank you. And we bless you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.